It is really good indeed to be able to see everyone here this morning. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you. And I already mentioned we have visitors, and we're always glad to have visitors. I've had some to ask me about the Malawi Working Fund for Larry Vinson and the building of a church building in Malawi. The goal was $35,000. And at this point, the people here at Ephesus have contributed $11,565. Stephen Cook, who is responsible for administering and controlling this fund for Larry, has been sending me, the amount of the checks with, and I asked him to do that without, actually I just asked him to tell me how much without giving me names of who's doing it. And so unless you gave me an open check, I have no idea how much each of you have given, but it has ranged, the contributions that he shows me have ranged all the way from $50 to $5,000, and a whole lot in between. So I appreciate the efforts so far, and that leaves Larry with somewhere in the neighborhood of $23,500 that he's going to take out of his pocket to finish paying for this building. So I just want to make you aware of where we are and what's going on with that. We live in a life and a society that's filled with problems. And you look around us and you think, you know, this guy or this person ought to be the happiest person in the world. And then next thing you read, they're in therapy or in prison or something else has happened to them and they've had some trauma in their lives. And the more we find out about the people that we might would think would be the happiest people, they are often indeed some of the unhappiest. Had a good friend that I always really sort of looked up to him because he'd always been financially successful, and he had retired at about 35 years old and had always seemed that everything he did turned into money. And I was talking to him one day, and one of his largest expenses is lawyer fees. He said, "I always have at least one or two lawsuits against me. Somebody's trying to do something or accusing him of something." And he died a very, very unhappy person. But you know, the fact is we can have a good life. And it is available for us. Jesus in John chapter 10 is talking there, and he talks about the sheepfold. And he said, "I'm the door, and anybody that comes in has to come in through me." And he said, if a stranger or a hireling is there, they don't take care of the sheep. But he said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." And he said, not only do I lay down my life for the sheep, my sheep know me and I know them. And so as he talks about this sheepfold, and he is the door and he is the good shepherd, he says in John chapter 10 and in verse 10, he said, "I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly." Jesus came to give us a good life. And yet so many in the world live without Jesus, or they live with Jesus in some relegated place in their life, and they are miserable. And all so often they are wondering why. God wants us to be happy. If you just think about what you read in the Bible, when God made Adam and Eve, he put them in the Garden of Eden, and just the very name, the Garden of Eden, says paradise to us, doesn't it? Here they were in this wonderful place. He provided everything they needed. They didn't have to even really work for anything, even though they dressed the garden. God provided for them. Everything was perfect. And God looked at all the things he had created and he said it was good. And when he created Adam and Eve, he said it was very good. Everything was great. Can you imagine living like that? When Jesus began his ministry, one of the first sermons we have recorded is the Sermon on the Mount. And in the first of that sermon is the Beatitudes, where he says, "Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are." And if you have a modern translation, what that says is, "Happy are those who." Happy. Jesus began his ministry talking about how we can be happy. And the reason is because God wants us to be happy today. He wants us to enjoy our lives. Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, rejoice in the Lord. In chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You see, Paul understood. And in spite of the fact that Paul was often persecuted because of his faith, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was put in prison. And yet he was one of those people that was always joyful. He was always happy. And Paul had peace in his heart. And he lived a life that was fulfilling and had purpose. And if you go out today and you talk to people, what they're going to tell you they want in life is they'd like to have peace. And what would really make them happy is if they could have a life that had purpose to it. If they could have a life that they felt some fulfillment in what they were doing, then they would be happy. But how do we have a life like that? What is the true secret to it? How do we have that inner joy and have that peace always? Or can we? Can we really have a life that is totally free from anxiety and worry and stress, and a life that's filled with peace? Is that really possible? A life that really brings fulfillment. I think the first thing we have to do is we have to get our perspective straight. If we can learn to look at things as we should, I think we'll find that that's true. Somebody once said, happiness is a way of traveling. It's not a destination. Our Constitution says that we have the right to the pursuit, or the Bill of Rights says we have the right to the pursuit of happiness. And the fact is, if we pursue happiness, we'll never find it. It's not there. It's not a destination, but rather it's a way of traveling. Just a side note, the fellow that said this that I copied it down from, his nickname is Grumpy. He's one of the grumpiest people you ever met in your life. He really is. Doesn't do any good to believe it if you don't practice it. The world wants us to believe that we can find happiness on our own. And that's a lie of Satan. That's not the truth. We're not going to find happiness on our own, because the abundant life is not about me. It's not about self. And yet that's where the world looks for this kind of abundant, happy, wonderful life. This kind of life is not about things. And how many times have you heard people say, or maybe even said ourselves, if we had this, we would be happy. It's not about this world. It's not about this life. The joy that this world gives ends in bitterness. Well, there is a short-lived happiness. Remember, the Hebrew writer says about Moses that he considered serving Jesus better than the pleasures of this world for a short time. And so the pleasures of this world bring bitterness. Adam and Eve were in the garden and everything was great until Satan entered the picture. And then he convinced Eve that God didn't really want them to be happy, but rather real fulfillment for Adam and Eve was going to come when they would eat that fruit that God said don't eat. If they would just listen to Satan instead of listening to God, they could have this happiness, they could have this peace, they could have this wisdom that God was not giving them. And it was all there for the taking if they were willing to do it. And they believed the lie of Satan. And they sinned. They committed an act against God. And consequences of sin came into their life, in our lives today. And that's why death is an absolute. because of sin. And for Adam and Eve, not only did death enter the world, but sickness, pain in childbirth. Instead of having everything provided for them, Adam was told that there would be thorns and thistles and that he would have to work with the sweat of his brow in order to provide food. And then the terrible tragedy came in their life when one of their sons became jealous of the other. And Cain, the older, killed his younger brother, Abel. And can you imagine the heartache that brought to them? Oh yeah, Satan said, I got a better way. But it wasn't. And when Satan tells us today that he has a better way, it's not. What is the philosophy then of this world? What is the philosophy to find peace and to find joy and freedom from anxiety and to find freedom from guilt? I'll let you answer that question. If you've worked with people anywhere and they've had a really bad day, what is the first thing that most of them say they want when they get off of work? Almost without exception, what they're going to say is, let's go get drunk or let's get high. That's the answer. If you got problems, get drunk. If you have anxieties and you have difficulties that you can't cope with, just get high on drugs. That's going to really solve your problems. No, what's going to happen is you're going to wake up the next morning, you still have all of the same problems, plus a hangover, and then you get drunk again, or you get some more drugs. I had a man told me one time, he said, the only cure for a hangover is just get drunk again. And that was how he lived. That doesn't bring peace. Doesn't bring happiness. What it does is it destroys our health both physically and mentally and emotionally. Not only does it destroy us personally, but how many families have been torn apart because of these things? And it destroys families. People lose their jobs, lose their livelihood, and sometimes even end up in prison because of it. Oh yeah. Here's the answer if you want to be happy, get drunk. Here's the answer, get you some drugs. No, it's not. That's what Satan would tell us, but he doesn't tell us the consequences that are there, and these are just a few of them. So somebody says, if you really want to be happy, just put yourself in your work. If you can just make more money, you can build a business, you can gain power, you can climb up the ladder, whatever the case may be, and you have all of this success. And so many times it ends up just like the friend that I told you about that died miserable, separated and divorced from his wife that he had been with that had helped him make him successful. There wasn't any happiness in that. Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes says that, and he was the wealthiest person that ever lived. And he said, I put myself into the work that I had. And I built gardens and I did all these other things. And he said, when I got through, I looked at it and it was like chasing the wind. It didn't have any happiness. Oh, it's there for a few moments when you look at it and you say, look at what I've done. But after a few days, it's not new anymore and it loses its glamour. Paul says those who want to be rich fall into a snare and many hurtful desires. And he says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with a lot of grief. You see, this pursuit of things has caused so many people to lose their faith in God. But not only that, it does other terrible things to us. If we are blessed to be rich, we need to enjoy it. We need to thank God for it. We need to remember that God is the one who gave it to us. But more often than not, people lose their families because they work all the time under the guise of providing for their family. I had an uncle that did that. He was working 2 and 3 jobs because he wanted to take care of his family and support them. And in his mind, he was just simply doing what he needed to do to provide for his family. And Ray had let them have the standard of living that he wanted them to have. And his wife divorced him because he never was at home. You see, it's a lot more important. Just lower our standard of living a little bit and be together and have time together for each other than it is to put our whole life into our work and then it's gone. And what happens then is our health is destroyed. Anxiety levels and stress bring heart attack and strokes, not to mention ulcers. Can't sleep at night. Back a few years ago, I read an article that said, it's talking about professional football players. How many of you would like to sign a contract for $20 million? Sounds great, doesn't it? Boy, it sounds good. You know what the number one cause of death for ex-pro football players is? Suicide. Suicide. Oh, they had a wonderful life, didn't they? Not even worth living. I was in the car business for many years, and when I was in the car business, there was an article came out about car dealers and car dealerships, and the number one cause of death for the general manager in a car dealership is heart attack. Number one cause of death for a sales manager, cirrhosis of the liver. Wonderful life, isn't it? You see, when we set our goal on things, we're not going to find the happiness and the peace that we want to find. And Solomon says, not only that, the more we have, the more we want. And he said, and besides all that, when we die, we're going to leave it to some fool to waste it. The world says we just have to look out for number one. If we want to be happy, we just got to look out for number one. But being selfish breeds discontent. And what it does is it causes us to look down on others and think we're better than everybody else. And so we begin to find fault with everybody else. And so it runs away our friends, those that would be our friends. And we find ourselves miserable and alone because we have looked out for number one instead of caring about other people. Do you know somebody whose life is filled with anxiety and worry and stress? There are too many people that are supposed to be Christians today that this describes us. And it should not. But somehow we've been convinced that this is normal and that everybody lives with this. But all it does is it robs us of our true happiness. It robs us of our peace of mind. And it makes us bitter and it makes us hard to get along with. It does not bring us happiness or peace or fulfillment. Do you live with guilt? Maybe something that you've done against someone in your family. Maybe one of your friends. Maybe some of your coworkers. But living with guilt destroys us from the inside out. And it destroys us both physically and mentally. And it leads to more stress and to more anxiety. But the good news is that the abundant life is available for us today. It's available for every one of us. But this life is only found in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's there for us. He said, I came to give you abundant life. But it comes from giving up self. It comes by serving God. Jesus offers forgiveness. And it doesn't matter what we have done. The Apostle Paul said that by the grace of God, I have been forgiven of all the sins that I committed. And he said, I was the chief of sinners. And he said, God did this to prove that if he can forgive me, he can forgive anybody. So it doesn't matter what we've done, but we can be free from sin. We can be free from guilt. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if we truly give ourselves to Jesus Christ, then we can live totally free from the guilt of sin. Jesus offers freedom from worry, all worry. He offers freedom from all anxiety. You remember in Matthew chapter 6, beginning there in verse 24, he says, no one can serve two masters, for either you'll hate the one and love the other. For you hold one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is not a part-time job. This is not a somewhat job. This is not a partial job. If we're going to serve Jesus Christ, we give up ourselves. We give up our life. We are crucified with Christ, and we live with Him, for Him, and in Him. And if we do not do it completely, it will not work. Let me say that again. If we do not completely give ourselves to Jesus Christ, it will not work. In fact, a half-hearted Christian is probably one of the most miserable people in all of the world. It must be wholehearted. He says, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And dropping down to verse 30, if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we clothe ourselves? Jesus says that we are to put our faith in God. And when we put our faith in God, we can let go of whatever it is that is worrying us. We can let go of whatever it is that is troubling us. And there is no excuse, certainly no reason, there's not even a good excuse for a Christian being filled with anxiety or worrying. Because God has said, give it to me and I'll take care of it. Paul says in Philippians 4, beginning of verse 6, be anxious for nothing. That's not be anxious sometimes. That's not be anxious for some things. He says be anxious for nothing. But in everything, that's all of it, everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends or surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But notice, it's all. It's not some, it's all. And when we are willing to trust God completely, and we're willing to give our lives to Him completely, we can have this abundant life. I confess to you, for much of my life, I lived about a half-hearted Christian. Believing all the time that since I was going to church regularly and I was preaching and I was teaching, that really was what it was about. But that's not really it. That's what Satan wants us to believe. But what it's really about is giving ourselves to God and letting God control us in everything we do and say, the way we think and the way we act. The abundant life teaches us to love. It's the kind of love that seeks the good of others. And so it's the love that is patient and kind. And it does not envy and it does not boast and it's not proud, it's not haughty. It's not ever rude and it's not self-seeking. Doesn't get angry easily. Doesn't keep a record of being done wrong. But it's always forgiving. And you see, when I accept God's forgiveness, it's really a two-way street, because what I'm telling God is that if you forgive me, I will forgive others. And so He says, if you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. And forgiveness means that I let go of what anybody has done to me. It doesn't make any difference what it is. It doesn't matter how many times they've done it. The Apostle Paul spent his life leading a group of people, killing Christians and putting them in prison. And he says, God forgave me. And he says we are to forgive as we have been forgiven in Jesus Christ our Lord, as God has forgiven us. But you know the wonderful thing about forgiveness? If somebody has done you wrong, you feel all these terrible emotions and you feel all this pain and you feel this anxiety and you feel all these problems. But the truth is, when you forgive them, you are freed. You have been held in a prison of being miserable by your own doing. And when we learn to forgive others, we can have freedom and we can have joy and we can have peace. And we can have the abundant life. The kind of love that brings us true joy and brings us real peace of mind and total absence of stress and anxiety is when we let God be in control without reservation. This love and this trust in God will cause us to have a meaningful life. One that's fulfilling. The abundant life. And with this kind of love, the way that God loves us, we can build real, meaningful, and lasting relationships. It means no more broken homes. It means we don't worry about ourselves. Because our problems, or even when we're done wrong, we just turn it over to God. And we know that He's going to give us His peace. Because He said He would, and He doesn't lie. You see, we're going to have problems, but we have the assurance that He will never let us be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. But with every temptation, will provide a way of escape. Not only that, He's promised that everything that happens to us, He will use for our good if we will trust Him. But we have to trust Him. And He will give us His peace. Do you have this abundant life today? If you don't, it's here. All you got to do is just take hold of it. It's waiting for you. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. This abundant life comes when we learn to really trust God. When we put our trust in Him and we turn away from the lies of Satan and from this world and from sin, and give our lives to Jesus as our Lord and as our Master, and let Him teach us how to live, and we follow whatever He tells us to do. And then we're buried in baptism with Jesus. And just like He was raised from the grave, we're raised from that watery grave of baptism. And just like He had a new life when He was raised from the dead, we have a new life in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ Jesus lives in me. If you have Jesus living in you, you have the abundant life. If you don't, you can have by coming to Him. If you're here this morning, you're subject to His invitation. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.